people free. Pharaoh then told Moses, if what you say is true, tell your God to show his face if he is here with you.
Ten plagues cast on Pharaoh.
Each sent one by one.
Ten plagues cast on Pharaoh.
The last one took his son. One by one,
10 plagues cast on Pharaoh.
The last one took his son. One by one.
10 plagues cast on Pharaoh.
The last one took his son.
There's a fascinating website on the internet that you ought to check out. The website is entitled How Stuff Works. HowStuffWorks.com. You can learn everything from how storm chasers work to how hurricanes work to what it would be like to be in the eye of a tornado. And I heard a husband one time say, yeah, I'm married. I know what that's like already. One of the things you learn on this website is there is a big difference between what works and how something works. There's one thing the Bible makes crystal clear. It is that the only thing that works to bring human beings into a relationship with God is faith. Now, if you're going to connect with God in a personal relationship, you're going to have to do it by faith. That's what the Bible teaches. We do it by and through faith. In fact, faith is such a big deal to God that he even tells us that you can't even please him without faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, if I were to ask you this simple question. Here it is. Do you believe in God? You say, preacher, come on now. That's too simple. Okay, just patronize me here for a moment. Do you believe in God? Now, unless you fall into 8% of the population, your answer to that question will be yes. Yes, preacher, I believe in God. Now, if I were to narrow the question even further and ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And if you answer that question in the affirmative, you will fall into a category of 76% of the population of our country. Now, if you happen to make the cut on both of those questions, and it makes you feel pretty safe and secure, and you're breathing a sigh of relief, then The half-brother of Jesus, whose name is James, wrote a book named James, and God placed this book in the Bible, and there's two big questions about your faith in Jesus Christ and your faith in God that James brings out. And these are the questions. Number one, is your faith real? And number two, how do you know? I love the book of James. The book of James was written to answer both of those questions. If you were to put this book on the internet, you would put it under the website howfaithworks.com. You see, there was a real problem that James was dealing with over 2,000 years ago, and it's still a real problem today. We're told in the beginning of the book that James was writing primarily to Jewish people, specifically Jewish Christians. He was writing to people who had grown up in a, well, let's call it a religious tradition. A religious tradition that taught them that it wasn't faith in God so much that gained you a relationship with God, but it was good works. You know, keeping the law, making sure you dotted the I's and crossed all the T's. Now, these Jewish people had heard the gospel, and they had heard how God does not accept us on the basis of the goodness that we do, but he accepts us simply on the basis of faith. And evidently, there was a great number of these so-called Jewish believers who had now gone to the other extreme. They assumed that since salvation was all by grace through faith, they just assumed that all you had to do was claim to believe in Jesus and that you could live any way you wanted to live and do anything you wanted to do. Good works were absolutely unnecessary as far as they were concerned now. They were unnecessary for anything. There were many people in the church in the first century who were claiming to be Christians, but there was absolutely no evidence of that in their lives. I heard a preacher one time talk about his grandmother. Now, when you talk about mothers and grandmothers, you know, you're going to hear things like, she was the best mother on the earth. She was the best mother who ever lived. She was the best granny. I'll tell you. And then you hear such wonderful, heartwarming stories. This preacher told a different story. My dad's mom, my grandmother, lived to be 99 years old. In the 99 years that she lived, she never attended church, never opened her Bible. She never did any good for anybody that I ever knew anything about. He went on to say, I hate to say it, but my grandmother was basically a mean woman. My grandmother used to throw bread out in the front yard to feed the birds, and then when they came to eat it, she would take a BB gun and shoot them. My oldest brother shared with my grandmother the gospel on more than one occasion. My grandmother would always say that she was okay, regardless of what she said. He concluded, the Apostle James would have some big questions for my grandmother. End of quote. Now, there are two things that I want you to understand as we begin this series this morning, and we are beginning a new series. We've just recently completed one. We're going to start a new one. And this one is in the book of James, if you hadn't figured that out already. And we're simply calling it Faith Works. Faith Works. The faith that works. And we're going to talk about how faith works. Two things quickly. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you do not have a relationship with God. Okay? Number two, if you say you have faith in Jesus, but there has been no life change that results in your obeying God and doing good, then your faith is not real. Just like there is a counterfeit money, there is also a counterfeit faith. That's why we're going to do something unusual at the beginning of this series. We're not going to start in chapter 1. We're going to chapter 2. Because everything else that James writes in this book is based on the understanding of what he says in chapter 2. Here's the main thing I want you to see this morning. When it comes to faith, declaration without demonstration equals deception. Let me say it again. When it comes to faith, declaration without demonstration equals deception. My friend, if you truly have faith in God, that is the real deal, what would your faith look like? How would your faith work? That's what we're going to find out in this series how faith works. We're going to learn that the best way to recognize the counterfeit is by studying the real thing. We had a friend years ago. I still like to think he's our friend, but I haven't seen him. We haven't seen him in many years. He worked for the Secret Service, and he first began his career with the Secret Service of studying counterfeit money. They wanted him to be able to arrest the bad guys. And so he thought, when I go into class for the next 6 months, I'm going to be studying counterfeit money, and I'll learn all about it, be able to recognize it. But he said, for 6 months, they never saw a counterfeit bill. They studied the real thing, so that when they saw a counterfeit, they would know the real bill so well that it would stand out like a sore thumb. This is what James is doing. James is telling us at the very beginning of chapter 2 what real faith is all about. In this passage, James tells us that there are actually three kinds of faith that a person can have, but only one is real and only one works. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Dead faith is defective. Dead faith is defective. James writes in James 2:14, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" Folks, there's such a thing as a phony faith. There is such a thing as a false faith. In the Greek text, what this verse literally says is, can that kind of faith save him? There are different kinds of faith, different kinds of faith that people have, but only one kind is the real kind. Now, what James is describing here is a dead faith. Actually, this is a rhetorical question, because what good is a faith that does not have works? It really doesn't need an answer, does it? The answer is none. Why? Well, because that kind of faith cannot do the most important thing it was meant to do, which is to bring a person into relationship with God. Let me clarify something here that I'm going to say over and over in this series. James is not saying that you must add good works to faith in order to know God. What James is saying is that true faith will produce good works. Are you listening? The key word in this verse is the word claims. James is not describing someone who has faith, but he is talking about someone who claims to have faith. This is a person that would pass the test of belief. They would be orthodox. They would believe the right things. And if you ask them certain theological questions, they'd be able to answer every one of them correctly. But they don't pass the test of behavior. Let me put it simply. Let me be plain. Oh, let me be blunt. If your faith does not produce obedience to God's word and the desire to do God's will, you don't have the real kind of faith. This is a person who is all talk, but no walk. He is all words, but no works. It is not what a person professes that lets you know whether or not he or she is truly a believer in Jesus Christ, but it is what a person produces. Paul talked about people like this when he said in the book of Titus, in Titus 1, verse 16, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, folks, this is why, just because you may remember of a time when you said some prayer, or some traditions have you fill out a card and walk down an aisle, others have you shake someone's hand, that really doesn't prove that you truly know God. The only proof that you really met God is that your life changed. You begin to live differently. To make sure you don't miss this point, James gives a practical illustration of what he's talking about. James chapter 2, beginning verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James 2:15-17. So James gives the illustration of a man who is cold and hungry. Someone who claims to have faith in God looks at this man and says, I see that you're cold. Please go and I hope you will get warm. I see that you're hungry. Please go and I hope you will be fed. This person's faith doesn't even move him to build a fire or offer food. Now, let's change the illustration. Suppose a man sees someone who is cold and hungry, and he's not a believer and doesn't even claim to have faith. He too says to this man, go and I hope you will get warm. Go and I hope you will get fed. What difference is there between the man who says he has faith and the man who doesn't? Are you with me? The answer is no difference at all. The person who claims to have faith but shows no fruit, shows no life change, shows no desire to put his faith in action, is no better than the person who claims to have no faith at all. I was reading some time ago where someone said, a person who won't read is no better off than a person who can't read. You see, a person who says he loves God but doesn't act like it, doesn't show it, you can't see it, is no better. No better off than the person who says they don't love God at all. Does that make sense? I think so. I want you to understand that James is not arguing that you need more than faith to know God, to be accepted by God. The question he's asking is faith what you really have? If you have real faith, there will be proof. There will be fruit. And there will be evidence. Take two men. They both say they are married, but when you examine the two men, one man has a wedding ring and the other doesn't. One man has a marriage license and the other doesn't. One man has a wife and the other doesn't. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who would you believe is really married and who would you believe simply is saying they're married? Well, preacher, come on now. That's too easy. Let me give you another illustration. I do not believe that baptism alone will save you. Now, what I mean by that is, if you're putting your faith in water, even and above God, Jesus, a turning of your direction in life, known as repentance, and being willing to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, you just want to get wet. So many times over the years, I've had people tell me about a family member that was lost and just say, if we could just get him baptized, is that all you wanted to do? But if a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, and once you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is your motivation, and you understand that that produces a want to change your life in repentance, and acknowledge Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you should be baptized. You better be baptized to obey God. I doubt very seriously, and so would James, that you have real faith if you say you're a Christian but you've put off being baptized. Someone says, well, you got to be in church. Got to be in church. That shows your relationship with God. Well, if that's the only thing that motivates you is just to have people see you in church, you're wasting your time. But if you have a relationship with God, you will be in church. You'll want to go to church. Well, he just gives in order for people to see him give. If that's true of you, then your giving is in vain. But if you are saved, your faith will prompt you and produce in you fruit in giving. Real faith in God motivates you to give to God's work. Now, let me be quick to add that you can do a lot of good work and a lot of good things, but have no faith. There's a lot of people and organizations in this world who do things for other people, but they have no connection to God, with God whatsoever. Here's the point, folks. Here's what James is trying to tell us. The presence of good works does not prove the presence of faith, but the absence of good works points to the absence of faith. And that is why dead faith is defective. Number two, demonic faith is deceptive. Now, at this point, James introduces a hypothetical devil's advocate. And I almost mean that literally. He introduces someone who is arguing with James and saying, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. James 2, verse 18. In other words, here is someone who is saying, James, some people have faith and some people have works. They don't always go together. They are the same people who believe that you would never know it by looking at them. And there are other people who believe, and it is very obvious by the way they live. Now, let me give you an illustration. Let me unpack that a little bit. This nation is full of people like that. 9 out of 10 people in America say they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but only 3 Americans in 10 say they have accepted him, received him as their Lord and Savior. So James's response to that is very simple. Talk is cheap. Real faith is shown in your life, folks. Real faith can be seen by others. Real faith is substantiated by good works. If your faith stops at words and doesn't go on to works, what good is it? That's why James goes on to say in verse 18, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith, but what to do? James would almost fall over laughing at people who think that just because they believe in God or some higher power, that that's all that matters. Listen to what James says in the next verse. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. James 2, verse 19. I think it's interesting to notice there are no atheists in hell. Even the demons believe in God. In fact, they tremble at the thought of God. They have more fear of God than a lot of people who say they believe in God. Now, if you look at a demon, you won't see any evidence of faith. In fact, you will see just the opposite. These beings believe in God, but they rebel against God, refuse to obey God, and they reject God's commands for their lives. Let me put it another way. You claim to believe in God. You claim to believe in Jesus Christ. If someone were to look at your life and say, show me, could you do it? I want to say again, you can have good works without faith, but you cannot have real faith without good works. If you truly believe in God, your life's going to show it, friend. Some people have tried to say that James in his message contradicted the Apostle Paul. And his message, you know, Paul, if you've studied Paul at all, you've studied the Bible at all, you know that Paul, who was an apostle, was famous for teaching over and over that we're saved by God's grace through our faith without good works whatsoever. And that's true. You cannot earn salvation by being good. On the other hand, James is not saying that you can earn salvation by being good because he knows you can't. What he is saying is even though you cannot earn it, you cannot hide it. There's no contradiction between Paul and James. None. James's brother said exactly the same thing. Remember, his brother was Jesus. James says of Jesus, James is referring to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see. Watch it now, watch it. See your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:15 and 16. Matthew 5:15 and 16. If you say you believe in God, but you don't have anything to show for it, you'd better go back and check your belief again, because it is not the real thing. Demonic faith is deceptive. Here's the third and final thing I want you to see. Dynamic faith is decisive. For those of you who are still not convinced, James gives two practical illustrations right out of the Bible to prove his point. He begins with a patriarch by the name of Abraham, James 2, beginning verse 20. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. When you study the life of this man named Abraham, he is the classic example of how real faith works. He illustrates the principle that faith and works go together. Faith and works work together. Faith and works live together. One inevitably produces the other. Abraham, the Bible says, believed God. Faith works. Faith obeys. You see that a person, James says, is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. James then gives a second example. He talks about a woman by the name of Rahab. Rahab was a harlot. James says in James 2:25, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Now, if you don't know the story, it's a story about a woman who was a pagan. She grew up in a pagan environment. She didn't know God until one day she met some Jewish spies who were scouting out the promised land. She hid them so they would not be discovered, and they told her that when they invaded the land, if she would hang a scarlet thread in her window, her family would be spared. She believed them, and she believed God. To prove that she did, she hung that thread in the window when everybody else was killed. Her life was spared. She showed that she believed. No, we're not saved through faith and works. You're not saved by Jesus and anything else you can add to it. You're not saved by Jesus and baptism, by church membership, by taking the Lord's Supper. You are saved by Jesus because of faith. Jesus doesn't need anything, and you don't need anything except Jesus in order to know God. But if you're truly one who has faith in God through Jesus Christ, and understand that it is by grace, you will do all of those things in order to be right with God. Here's the bottom line. Is your faith real? There's only one way to know it. Faith works. If your faith works, here's what it means. You will show it. God will grow it. And others will know it. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.